Bayon.
Face again. We are back yet again, and Nikki is doing that lovely face again for all of us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're so glad that you're excited to be here.
Absolutely. Hey, Daryl.
What are you doing? Oh my God, wow, I'm out of it. What's funny is that y'all can hear me. My microphone is like not even near my face. It's like on the other side of my desk. I was like, I feel like something's missing. Hold on.
Typical Daryl.
One moment.
Well, we could hear you. So.
Here we go. Can you hear me very loudly now?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You are Aggie.
Yeah. I was like, why do I feel like something's missing? And then I realized y'all have microphones in your face. And I was like, wow, my microphone is not on this side of the desk. So I just want to say before we get started that for me, Daryl, it's been a very hard and long day. Hard and long. And I'm going to be honest, I'm a bit delirious.
Okay.
So we're doing this with that in mind. So.
All right.
Also, you were like extremely loud.
Really? Should I turn my gain down?
No, just don't yell in your microphone. Then you'll be all right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll attempt.
Wow.
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 Okay. Well, okay. And Nikki, how are you? Because Daryl just told us how he is. So you good?
I am good. I am also a little tired, but for the most part, I'm here. I'm alive. What about you, Jordan?
I'm good. I'm a little I'm good. I don't know if I'm tired. I feel like I'm rested, but, you know, working and people draining me. Other than that, I'm fine. So, but you know, let's spread a little radical optimism first to get things going because, you know, we got to try to find some positivity here, you know. On Friday last week, I felt like there was a lot of music that got released, plus we're going through a beef right now, but we'll get to that a little bit later. A lot of music got released. Just kind of wanted to talk about, like, our thoughts and feelings on a few songs. Before I even get to Radical Optimism, I want to just give a shout out to Coco Jones, first and foremost, for dropping probably one of the best R&B songs I've heard in a minute for like radio and things like that. Like, she did an incredible job. Her new song, I should know the title. What's the title of it called? It's called, I feel like it's four different names. So I always get it confused.
It's like Here or something. Let me go back.
Uh-oh, here we go again, or something like that.
Coco.
Y'all know what it is.
Wow. Here we go. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Uh-oh. That's what it is.
Here we go. Uh-oh. Yes. Incredible song. I just think it was a great comeback single, especially coming from ICU, because it wasn't like she did the exact same thing again or the same kind of song, and I thought the sample was really great. She sounded good. The video was awesome. So I just want to first shout out like Coco Jones. Yes.
I also like how the music video was like a rehearsal, but also the real thing. And like, it was really cool to me. I enjoyed it.
I think
good job, Coco.
I'm really impressed. Like, I mean, here's the thing. I have been listening to Coco Jones's music since before she was popping. She had a couple of EPs before that I don't know if people were really listening to. And she had, you know, she's been very active in music for quite a while, even post-Disney. I'm not even talking about like Disney. I'm talking like post-Disney. And I'm really happy because I listened to her album. Or are we calling it an album? What I didn't tell you, is that an album or is it like a,
I think it's considered an EP, I believe.
Oh, an EP. Okay. So yeah. That is a great EP. And I actually love the entire thing. I think there are tons of hits from that EP, but like ICU is what really catapulted her. So my fear was like that, the same fear that I had with Money Long once she kind of catapulted with Hours and Hours. My fear was that ICU was going to be the one thing that we get to see from Coco that people revere as highly. But I think that she has showed us that she is very much capable of pulling out hit after hit after hit. And I think that that combined with her social media presence, she did a really good rollout for this too, like on social media.
She did.
So I'm really proud of, I'm giving her the credit because she's the artist. I don't know if she probably has a great team as well, but she's the artist. So I'm going to give her that credit. And I'm going to say that I'm excited for whatever this next era is that she's going into. I'm assuming it's a new album or maybe a debut album if the first one is an EP.
From my understanding, it's her debut album that's supposed to be coming. So
that's so weird because the first one's also labeled as deluxe.
That's why I said it's an album.
It's a deluxe EP.
With 11 songs?
I feel like a deluxe EP is kind of an album. But like...
I would say it's an album, but it's kind of a similar thing with her. Her didn't consider her first things an album. Then she combined it all one thing and it was like 20 songs and it was still like the long EP. Because technically her debut album was the album with the like Damage and all that stuff on it. So it's kind of the similar thing.
But I will say... Now, I love Coco, but don't do that. Don't give us your debut album with the first 12 songs from
Do not this one. Do not then, Tori Kelly us. Do not Tori Kelly us.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Although I love Tori Kelly, but like...
That album was not great?
I thought the album was great. I loved it. I liked the music she came out with from the EP first before...
It was giving, and you're watching Disney Channel.
I don't know why you keep saying that. I don't think it sounded like that. Tori Kelly's music.
It sounded, I don't know. I think she could stand for a bit more of maturity in her sound. I think she has a great voice, but I think, I don't know. I feel like the music and her voice there's something not connecting for me there.
That's so weird that y'all think that, because I think this is the most mature she's sounded. Like Tori Kelly is not like I'm a be cursing a lot and talking about sex and shit. Like,
I don't need that. I don't even want that from her. I think it's just actually literally like how the music sounds. The music sounds has this like very like, I don't know, stuff that I would feel like I would hear on like Disney Channel in a sense.
It sounds like it's written by like for a 17, 18, 19 year old rather than like a 31 year old, because Tori Kelly's 31 and she's married. She doesn't sound like a married woman's adult album, in my opinion.
No, and I think it's also trying to appeal to a younger audience too at the same time, but I think there's still a way to do that without it sounding
childish.
Like child.
That's fair. I think the album she came out with, Inspired by True Events, that I could take that criticism for, because I do agree with it for that album. But this one, I actually completely disagree with that. But music is subjective and people have different opinions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I value that and I take that. But that being said, please stream Tori, because we want success for our sister.
I mean, someone else also released a thing we didn't talk about, which was Normani.
Yes, I was going to bring that up next, actually.
What, Daryl? What's that face for?
No, I'm going to be so honest with you, and this is not shade. I don't remember anything about that song. And that's not a shady comment. That's me saying you said that, and I thought I actually cannot tell you anything about that song. And I listened to it more than once. I have no idea anything about that song.
I agree, because I can't think what it sounds like right now either.
I know what it sounds like. I mean, it was a pretty simple song. It didn't have tons going on with it. I think here's the thing with my opinion on that song was, this song is fine. I don't think this is I don't think this is the first single to launch your album. It sounded like an interlude that went an extra minute too long. I don't think Gunna did anything. Like, he was fine, but it also wasn't like, wow. It just was kind of like a very like this kind of song. And I'm very confused on that as the lead. And I'm also confused on that as a lead, because it seemingly seems like she's already moving on to the next single, which is Candy Paint, which is what people wanted in the first place. So I just don't understand why we even released 159.
Wait, what is, how do y'all know? Did she announce that she's doing another
single? She put it on her, yeah, she put it on her Instagram. She said pre-save the song, so that's coming.
Yeah, and like people are dancing to TikTok on it already.
To Candy Paint.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's definitely a surefire sign that her team was like, nope, flop, next, cut, next.
But also, I think there was a missed opportunity. The song is not a minute and 59 seconds. Now I don't understand what the 159 means.
It means you know what happens, because I saw what she said. You know what happens at that time, basically.
What?
Booty
lunch?
Booty call hours.
The song at 159? That's 2 a.m.
Literally. Well, my brain was like, p.m.?
I mean,
like lunch?
I mean, if I hear 159, then I'm assuming that it has something to do with sex. But honestly, like, that's just, like, maybe I'm crazy, but, like, 2 a.m. is, like, hella late to be having sex. Like, who's just up at 2 a.m. having sex? Like, I feel like that's, I mean, maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe everybody is but me. That's also possible. I'm very much like 11:30 to 12:30, maybe 1 a.m. max type of guy. At 2 a.m., I'm going to sleep. So
at 2 o'clock, I have already been asleep.
Right.
Like,
well, you know, Dermani made that song for her. And this is what happens during her time.
You know, I also want to say about that, though, like, I mean, I could say I'm a fan of Normani. Like, I wouldn't say that, like, I'm, like, a stan or anything, but I do appreciate, like, I think Normani is an exceptionally talented artist. I think that she is a great performer. Like, honestly, one of the best that we have of this, like, new crop of performers, male and female. And I think she has put out so many really popular songs over the past few years. Like, she's put out, like, these singles that kind of, like, got a lot of press. And I know that people were waiting for this album for her, which honestly feels weird considering it is her debut album. I just feel like, and maybe y'all disagree with me, I kind of feel like Normani is kind of like missed the mark a bit. Like, I think her time for, I think that the time for Normani to strike while it's hot has kind of passed. And mm-hmm. I think that now the people that are going to carry her career are going to be the people that were going to do so anyway. Like, and I'm never one to say somebody is over and out, but I do think that, like, as with any business, timing is important. Mm-hmm. And she had, people don't even get one hit song, not even one. Some people never get one hit song. She had a couple in a row that mm-hmm. were very successful and waited years to release an album. So I hope she does well, but I don't see this. I see Dopamine, that's the name of the album, Dopamine, right? Mm-hmm. I see Dopamine, which also, what is that? Dopamine tells me nothing about you, tells me nothing about, like, your artistry. It tells me, why is it called? My point is, I don't see this being a huge success for her, honestly. And I love Normani, so I don't want to be, like, shady or nothing. I love her, and I want it to be successful. I just don't see it for her at this point.
I'm about to say this, and hope it doesn't sound rude, but I see Normani's music career and Normani as, like, a celebrity, almost how I see Kelly Rowland. Have good singles here and there. Albums will do okay, but, like, she's a bigger socialite, bigger presence than she is an artist. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I see. Because, like, Kelly Rowland, like, she has, like, a hit off of each album or, like, a couple. But, like, people don't go to be like, oh, let me go to this Kelly Rowland album and just play the album from top to bottom.
Yeah, I actually agree with both of you, honestly. I feel equally the same about both of what you guys said. I feel like, me personally, Normani should have striked when Wildside happened. I think that's when she had all the attention, the buzz. I think that's when everybody was fully locked in. I feel like she even had other people that weren't even locked in and motivation locked in for Wildside. So I think whatever that album sounded like then, she should have just released it, regardless if it wasn't, like, the best thing ever, because she could have released, now would have been, what, 2 years now since that one, and she could have released another one, could have been even better in her career, could have skyrocketed even more. And I think she just waited. I agree, she just waited too long. I think now it's kind of like, okay. Because again, even, like I said, no matter what that song sounded like, people are going to be like, wow, we waited 5 years for this song. Mm-hmm. So it was just, it was too long. So Unfortunately, I wish Normani the best, though. I really do.
Same. Of course. And I do also want to, like, also point out that I think the case is that she said the reason her album has taken so long is because she had, like, a lot of family problems. If that's mm-hmm. true, which I think, why would she lie? If that's true, we also got to give her some grace on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but both of her parents has cancer, or has, or in remission.
Yeah. Do y'all know if that was a plan? Like, when she released Wildside, was that supposed to be, like, her first single off of a project, or was that just, like, a single...
I think that was supposed to be one, because she's also had two different other album titles before Dopamine. So the first time it was supposed to be called The Butterfly Effect, and then the second album title was something else that I was like, okay. And then she came up with Dopamine. So who the album is went through stages.
Who's coming up with Normani's album titles?
I think Normani.
She'd fire herself. That's not the no.
Don't hate the Dopamine album title. I don't hate that.
It's too generic.
I don't like the album cover with that title, because it doesn't make sense to me.
That's also fair. But Dopamine sounds like no shade to anyone. It sounds like an album that I would hear from anybody that makes music. That album title does not tell me anything. Like, it feels just like anybody that makes music can make an album that sounds a little bit deep called Dopamine, and then that's what it is. I am willing to bet that that album's going to come out, and we're going to be like, well, why did we call this album Dopamine? I feel like that's what's going to happen. I feel like I'm dragging Normani. I don't want to drag Normani. I like Normani. Like, I really like Normani. I feel like I'm dragging her. I'm going to stop talking.
Wow. Daryl's a controversial one today.
I don't know. I mean, listen, I think Normani shouldn't expect anything less from these kind of, like, criticisms tossed about her at this point. I think she knows that. So I think hopefully she has a very amazing album that is really, because I feel like if it's not, doesn't make any kind of waves in the sense of, like, at least people liking it, then I think she's definitely just going to fall into just being a socialite full time. So, yeah.
The Kelly Rowland effect, which is great.
I'm not going to say I disagree with that, but I don't like it because I love Kelly Rowland and it just don't sit right with me. So I'm not saying this to argue with you. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I'm not agreeing to it because I just don't like it.
Okay.
And that's it. Because what you're not about to do is try to Shay Kalindria Trinae Rowland. Like, we're not doing that.
I'm not shading Kelly Rowland. It's the truth.
But, like, I feel like she has a lead. If put it this way, for her to still be relevant at 43, 44, considering she was not the lead singer of the group she was in, considering it's been a while since that group is relevant, considering that the lead of that group is arguably the apex of her career, for her to still even be a name that we all know and follow and as a socialite, that's a lot of power. And that's the sign of a very powerful woman, a very talented woman. And somebody's listening to her music because she keeps releasing.
Wouldn't disagree.
I mean, you're not wrong with any of that, but, like, the facts are facts, America. Like, Kelly Rowland, if it would have happened, had a 20-minute set at Lovers and Friends. And I asked you, when I told you that, what songs is she singing that she needs more than 20 minutes? That are not Destiny's Child.
I'm not arguing with you on this. I feel like she has multiple hits that comprise more than 20. She does that at Pride events. Like, she does longer sets at Pride events. So, like, she has more than 20
question
minutes.
My question to you was, what songs are Kelly Rowland performing that are longer than 20 minutes that are not Destiny's Child songs as well?
I'm not answering that.
Because there is no answer. Because she has hits for 20 minutes. And I love Kelly. I love Kelly.
I'm not answering that because we're talking about new music.
I love Kelly Rowland. She's not my favorite Destiny's Child. But, like, I love Kelly. I respect her highly. But I don't think Kelly Rowland has enough music that I would go pay for a Kelly Rowland concert ticket for. Because what is she giving me in an hour and a half to 2 hours? I'm not going to know 80% of her set if it's not Destiny's Child or her hits.
Well, but again, then that's why in that sense, though, there is Kelly Rowland fans that do enjoy her albums, and she does have good albums. So
Kelly Rowland, I still in that Madison Square Garden for her solo career.
Okay, well, we're not going to do that.
Most artists are not selling out Madison Square Garden for their careers. So
that's why I said Normani is going to be on the Kelly Rowland track.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I think Fifth Harmony's getting back together anyway. So, because all of their careers are kind of stalling at this point. So I've heard rumblings. I heard rumblings about that. I heard rumblings that they're all kind of like, I shouldn't have said their careers are stalling. They're not stalling.
I would be surprised if they do that just because of how horrible they said that experience was for them.
Child.
But they need a check, Jordan.
I was going to say, money can make you do crazy things.
Need a check, Jordan.
Something strange for a piece of change, baby. I mean, I would love a Fifth Harmony reunion. Why not?
I think it's too soon.
Would they?
I think it's too soon. Also, Normani is she already planning a reunion? Because you know her album comes out next month.
Yeah, that's true. Never mind. So anyway.
Well, sorry, we got off topic here.
We did not get off topic because the topic is about music. We're just talking about music today. Any others? I'm trying to think. Are there any other singles that came out before I get to the albums?
I don't know.
What is this song? I have not heard it, but it's like blowing this Million Dollar Baby song. Do y'all know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, Tommy. Yeah. It's funny enough. It's so crazy that he's blowing up just because, like, we and one of my best friends, we've been kind of following him for a minute, and I was just like, this is so weird when you hear people that you've like listened to on like SoundCloud for like a very long time that had like 500 listeners and things like that now has the number two song on Billboard. I was just like, wow, okay, I'm not sure how that happened, but okay.
You know what? It's so interesting you say that because I feel like it is new. I don't think it released this week, but it's kind of new. I feel that same way about Sabrina Carpenter. I used to listen to Sabrina Carpenter, which is weird because I'm not her target demographic at all. But I listened to Sabrina Carpenter way back in her Disney Channel days, which I wasn't watching her on Disney Channel, but I remember I heard her on a playlist and I was like, who is this? And I was like, oh, this is a girl from Disney Channel.
I didn't know that's where she's from. Where is she? What show is she from on it?
So she, I'm so embarrassed to admit this. Okay. So I lied when I said I didn't watch her on Disney Channel. I did. And she was on a show called Girl Meets World. It was a spinoff of Boy Meets World. And she played the best friend named Riley. No, she played Maya. Maya was Riley's best friend, and Riley was Cory and Topanga's daughter from Boy Meets World. And so she played kind of like the female version of the Sean character from the original series. And I watched that show because I loved Boy Meets World growing up, and I found out they were doing it, so I watched it. And I always thought she had a decent... No, not really. It wasn't good. It was also on Disney Channel. Like, it should have been like on a Freeform or something like that. Like, it was on Disney Channel. And I was like, Boy Meets World got kind of serious later on. And it felt weird to start back at Disney Channel. But I say all that to say, she released a lot of music on Hollywood Records. Is that what the Disney kids do? A lot of that music, which felt more mature than Disney Channel. But like, it never got outside of that sphere. She didn't really blow up until the whole Olivia Rodrigo thing happened. And then people were saying she was never going to be as successful as Olivia Rodrigo because Olivia was so successful and, you know, people really didn't like her. But Sabrina has had a renaissance, like, in the past...
I feel like they switch places almost in a sense.
It literally feels like they have switched places because Sabrina Carpenter is blowing up, and I love that little white girl. I love her. I think she's great.
I enjoy her.
Music is catchy.
I enjoy her too.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear Espresso, what her album sounds like.
Me too. Yeah, the Espresso song is a lot of fun. I think it's a very fun summer pop song, so I think she did a great job. I saw a little bit of her Coachella set too, and I was like, oh, she actually can sing, and she's pretty well. She's got it. So I get it. I get the attention.
It's definitely this, because this coupled with Feather, which was her other single right before that, it's definitely a bit of a rebrand too. Like, she's going into this like airy pop princess vibe, whereas before she was in this like a teensy bit more edgy vibe. I think she's really living in this like, I'm going to talk about sex, but in a cool way. Like, I think that's like her vibe now. And I love the bangs. The bangs are great too. Anyway. Love you, girl. Love you.
Well, I love that. So, well, let's keep on the pop realm of things. So, Miss Dua Lipa is back. People have been either excited about it or just not feeling very lukewarm about the singles that she's put out and things like that. I think it's definitely been a mixed review bag. Coming off of Future Nostalgia, I think it was just going to be tough to come back from such a huge album, such a great pop album. in general. So I just think she was going to have a, for some reason, I just had in my mind, this she might have a hard time coming back from such a big album, just because it's usually hard to do. But yeah, if Radical Optimism is out. I listened to it a few times just because it's short and it was easier to listen to than the Tortured Poets Department. So, but yeah, I'll just start off saying, like, I actually enjoyed it more than most people are enjoying it, actually. A lot of people are kind of not, like, really liking it too much, I think, because I don't know if either because they want Future Nostalgia again, but I also heard complaints that people didn't want that again. So I don't feel like I got that album again. I feel like there was like one or two songs that kind of gave me that disco vibe a little bit that she did before. But overall, I thought the album was like, it felt like I was like at Laguna Beach or like driving down the road listening to like, I don't know. It's like sunny outside, the wind's blowing, and like I'm about to have like a nice drink or something at the beach. I don't know. It just gave me a very summery vibe. More than the singles did. So I was very confused with the singles because I feel like the singles and the songs on the album are like, to me, two different worlds of things going on. But that was just my opinion. But I enjoyed the songs on the album more than I like the singles, if that makes any sense.
It's interesting. I feel like this is Future Nostalgia light. Does that make sense? Mm. Mm. No, to where it's not quite Future Nostalgia, but it's still like in the same family. But it's like the cousin of Future Nostalgia rather than like the sister or the brother. So I can get that. I get the critique of people saying they don't like it. They want Future Nostalgia or not. Because to me, it feels like the light version of that. I also was thinking, because I actually do like this album too. It's a good Cleaning Your House Up Saturday pop album, in my opinion. I really do like Training Season. I really like that song. And I like Maria as well. But I also was just thinking about like, it doesn't seem like an elevation for Dua, in my opinion. It feels like a continuation. That's why I say it's like Future Nostalgia light. Like, it doesn't seem like a great departure or that she even pushed herself. She's just like, let me make some cute bops, put them on an album together. Kind of in the same lane that I do, but I'll adjust it here and there. That's kind of what my overall take. But the album is pretty good, though. I think it's like the second best pop album that came out this year.
Oh, okay. I'll also say, too, I realized, too, the album, because at first I was trying to understand, like, what's the connection, why is it called Rock Up? Then when I listened to the songs and I was listening to the titles, I was like, oh, okay, she's talking about some things that are not, like, happy things here, but she's putting it over this, like, feel-good thing, so it's, like, still having optimism about, like, either, like, you know, relationship wasn't going to work, but you're like, hey, I'm still, like, looking on the brighter side of things, so everything felt like a very, like, I'm going to turn a negative into a positive, which I was like, okay, I appreciated that. And I like that she started the album with a song called End of the Era, even though I didn't feel like it was fully End of the Era, kind of like you said, because it didn't sound like Future Nostalgia per se, but it felt like you said, it did feel like it was like the more psychedelic version of it, or like the psychedelic elements versions of that album. So, and I would have liked her to, I hope that she does push herself, because I feel like she has a very versatile voice that can do other things, so I would be curious to see what she does.
Like, she can sing. Like, I would love to hear her on like some singer songwriter type tracks as well, just to see what she do with them. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Daryl.
No, you're fine. I listened to the album, funny enough, on a Saturday morning while I was doing cleaning my house, because it came out, not because I was necessarily like inclined to listen to it. Because honestly, I'm not like, I wouldn't say I'm a stan of Dua Lipa. Like, I don't really follow her very, very much. But that being said, I vaguely remembered Future Nostalgia. So I actually went back and listened to it again because I liked Radical Optimism so much that I went back and listened to Future Nostalgia again. And I can understand why you say it sounds like a continuance, because sonically, a lot of it is very similar. However, I think lyrically, it is very different. Like, lyrically, she has gone in a very different, like, it felt more like, I'm also a person, like, I love lyrics. Like, honestly, like, sometimes I relate more to lyrics than the actual sound of the music. And so when I was listening to it, I was like, oh, so these are upbeat pop tracks, but she's actually talking about really tragic things. Like, she's actually like, and there's like a irony there that is very poetic in a way. And so I listened to it and I found myself really enjoying this album. So I went back and I listened to Future Nostalgia, and my actual thought was, these are all just dance songs. These are literally all just dance songs that are fun to listen to. I didn't even know that there was a single from Radical Optimism. That's how much I really did not like pay too much
attention.
I didn't know that was a single. And I was listening to this album and I was like, oh, this girl is actually a vibe. Like, she's a vibe. And I think I did read that a lot of people, like Jordan said, were not like thrilled about this album. But I also think that, like, we kind of live in this era when it comes to music that, like, and I'm not saying this either of you, but I'm saying, like, in general, we kind of just, like, listen to music as, like, a one or two times and, like, are like, it is or not. You know, we don't really digest music very well. And I think that the fact that I, as a person that was not a stan or really even a fan like that, could actually see the progression in her music in like 1.5 days. I feel like the majority of people aren't trying to digest it. They're just listening to it. And honestly, that might be partially her fault. Maybe she trained us to listen to her music in a certain way. That's also fair. But I think that I hope people give the album another chance. Cause like, honestly, in terms of pop music, it's some of the best that's out there right now. In 2024, agree. I would agree. Yeah. So I didn't know she could sing like that. I really didn't know she could actually sing.
My question is, I wonder what do the demos sound like before all the production elements came? Because like, the lyrics are kind of heavy. So like, how is she singing these lyrics in the demo? Cause she has like songwriting credits on this. So like, what does the demo sound like? And they were like, wait a minute, this is really dark. Let's jazz this up with production.
She talked about it a little bit on Staying Low. And so most of the songs are all written in her like journal. So she like writes, pretty much she just kind of like writes poems and things like that. And I think obviously other songwriters come in and juice it up, whatever, and stuff like that. But it sounds like a lot of it was like, oh, I'm writing this when this situation happened to me kind of situation. So now, and then it's like, let's make it into a song. Because one of the funny, she said the first song that she made, or the first song that she even wrote, was Happy For You, which is actually the last song on the album. So she said, but that kind of took the route of where the album was going to go, which is interesting because that song doesn't sound like any of the other songs on the album. And that actually was one of my favorite songs on the album, because I just think I was like, this is so different for her. And she sounded really good singing that song. I was like, wow. So
yeah, Dua actually can sing. So I appreciate, like, I would say, when I say second best, like, she's to me, like, after Ariana when it comes to pop for this year.
Yeah, she's good. She's good. I think, I agree with you, Daryl. I just want to say I agree with you that I feel like people don't sit with stuff long enough. I think people just quickly go, oh, or if it doesn't hit that sound for them that they thought they were going to get from this person, they just move on instead of actually, like, sitting with it a little bit longer. I also think people just bandwagon stuff, too.
That's oh, yes, right. Absolutely. I will also say, and I'm only going to say this really quick and we go right back to it, but I was talking to Nikki on Saturday and I am even like judging myself in the statement I said about people digesting music, because like, I know we already talked about it and I know how y'all feel about it, so we're not going to talk about it for too long, but I went to see a Broadway show on Saturday, right? And I was very emotionally affected by the show, and afterwards I was in the mood to be like in... I was in the mood to feel my feelings a little bit, right? So I listened to Tortured Poets Department.
I knew we were going.
I'm saying this very quickly. I still don't think it's her best album. I still don't even think it's one of her best albums. I don't think it should be considered for album of the year, any of that. That being said, I find myself singing multiple songs from that album now. Like multiple. In one specific song,
Me and Clara Bow.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. I find myself singing multiple songs from that album. It's not bad. It's not bad. So the reason I say that is because I think sometimes I gave it some time and I listened to it when I was in a different space and it affected me differently. And I gave it time to digest and I digested it differently. So I feel like that might be a thing. Like, I feel like we just digest music differently. That's all I'm saying.
What y'all are missing, that Daryl also admitted to me on this set phone call that he's also, he was like, I think I'm a Swiftie. Am I a Swiftie? Like, he also had that realization.
I said that. You know what? I knew this. You kept toying with this back and forth, but I said, this man is a Swifty.
No, because hold on. First of all, y'all say that like it's like upset a Republican. Like, no, like
it's the same to me. It's the same to me.
That's ridiculous. Which you can also be Republican. That's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is that I think the reason I'm hard to say that I'm a Swifty is because I don't stand Taylor Swift and I don't like her singing voice. But I'm not.
But you like her music.
I like some of her music. I like some of her music. I like some of her music. I will say of her, there are certain albums of Taylor Swift that I'll probably never listen to again.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. Yeah, Evermore, I'll never listen to that again. I'll never listen to any of her early shit because I don't care about any of that. But like this one, I think is not bad. I'm not going to listen to that whole album. I'm not listening to 32 songs from Taylor Swift. I can't do that.
You, again. Me, and...
Anyway, so we love Dua Lipa's album. It was great. I hope... You know what? Is Dua Lipa going on tour? Do you know?
I don't know, but I think that she has teased that to get ready for, like, she's written.
We should go.
Gearing up for it.
We should go. If she goes on tour, I would 100% go see Dua Lipa. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that with this album, she has actually turned me into a fan. I am a fan of
Dua Lipa. I would go to Dua Lipa. I would go to a concert.
I'll go to Dua Lipa because I know the mic will be on. So that's fine for me.
Wait, and, really? She's not a bad dancer. She's actually a pretty decent performer, too.
Wait, does she actually sing live?
She does, yeah. Oh, I want you guys to check out, if you can, her Saturday Night Live performance of "Happy for You." I was like, okay, the vocals are on. She did. She also did "Illusion." That was good too. Both of them are great. So, and people out there, check it out. She did a great job performing.
Is she?
I'll check it out.
Is Dua Lipa like? What's about? My mind just blanked. Never mind. My mind just completely blanked when I said that. I was like, is Dua Lipa? I don't know, so y'all go ahead.
Like her, like even though it's from Future Nostalgia, like "Hallucinate" is a song I play all the time.
That was like a good song. I remember that.
Oh, sorry, I just remember what I was gonna say. Does Dua Lipa have like a fan name, like her fan army or whatever? Like,
I'm not doing that. I don't care.
No, I'm just asking. I'm curious. Like
I don't. I've never heard of one, but I don't know.
It seems like she should have one.
I feel like that she should at this point.
They're called Loves.
That's not good. That's not a good one. Dua, I'm a fan now. I'm a fan. Change that. Change that.
Yeah.
Maybe we can
help figure that one out for her.
Loves. No. So, no.
That seems very unthoughtful. So.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Well, anything else? Are we good? We love Dua's album. Dua did a great job.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, let's move on to the niggas.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't say niggas for one person. Okay. Wait, Kendrick said, it feels weird when this person say nigga. I agree.
Well, here it is, folks. We've made it to what literally is on everyone's fucking timeline everywhere. If you are not living under a rock, you know that Drake and Kendrick Lamar are beefing and it has gotten pretty nasty. So I would say who has won has definitely been Kendrick Lamar.
I agree.
But I will say this. Drake, what I appreciate about this rap beef is that this made Drake actually rap and step it up a bit than he's normally had. I think he's been a little too comfortable, and I don't think he's given us a lot of like interesting music. I feel like his music's been very just like just Drake, what you know you're gonna like from Drake, and he's just gonna give it to you, which is fine. If it's not broke, don't fix it. That's his thing. But I feel like this has at least been made it a little bit more interesting for him to like actually, I don't know if he's using ChatGPT or whatever the fuck he's doing, but either way, I love it. I loved his effort, but it didn't outshine Kendrick's, unfortunately, in my opinion.
I, okay. I listen to all these tracks and a few things. If I was a rapper beefing with someone, I would not make a response diss track.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it. I would think bigger. I would make an entire diss album.
Oh.
With visuals and go on tour, and I will title it Money Off Your Name. And the entire album, all the visuals, everything would be just disrespect to you for making that one diss track. Because I feel like I'm going to capitalize off of this. So why not just go big, right? So if I'm going to do some deep research, I'm going to cut you deep. I'm going to make 12, 13 tracks of a full album with visuals, with a lookalike, like going so close to the edge where I don't get sued. But everyone knows this is completely disrespectful towards you in every single way. Even down, like, I would make an entire visual. I would go, like, I would do it big. Like, if I'm going to respond to a diss track. I think making these tracks back and forth, like, you just airing out your beef. Why don't you make some money? Go hard. Like, really do it. And I think they both missed an opportunity here. It's just my opinion.
Well, I did not know that's what you were going to say.
But think about it, though. Think about it. Like, you wait a few, like, Kendrick apparently started this or whatever. Like, think about you not responding, like, okay, like, I'll be like, oh, that was a cute diss track, and just let it go. But people think, oh, he's not going to respond. But then 5-6 months down the line, you respond in a way that's just completely disrespectful. And I think that will have a much larger impact.
5 or 6 months down the line.
Yes, because now I'm about to disrespect you highly. I'm going to do deep research. I'm going to get a lookalike to put you in music videos. I'm going to bring up everything from your childhood now to who you are as an adult. And I'm really going to make money and capitalize off of this beef and make you look like a fool. So far, because you thought the beef was over, but I've been secretly preparing for this. I'm also really petty. So
I was gonna say this is. I said that is a whole level of petty if I have ever seen it. And
let me
go ahead, Daryl.
Please do not indulge Nikki because he's on some bullshit. If you got 5-6 months to obsess about somebody who says something about you so much so that you put all this time, effort, and energy into making an album that is a diss album off of one person. That person won.
They've been making tracks back to back.
But it's not like, an album. This is like a steady, regular style rap. Like, that
I
makes
know,
sense.
But people are going to get tired eventually of all these tracks coming the same day. Take your time. Just imagine.
No.
Beyonce
Nobody
did it with
cares.
Cowboy Carter.
That
Beyonce
was not
did it with
a
Cowboy
person.
Carter. It was her villain album. I would make my villain album and call it Money Off Your Name. And
I'm
you
tell
know,
you something right now.
Everything from this album is going to be disrespectful in the highest form.
Mm-mm. If you get into a, not you specifically, but if any artist gets in a beef with somebody and then waits and do it and does a whole album months later, I don't care. You're whack. You're lame. That was stupid. You should have come up with something different.
Not if it's good disrespect.
I don't know if that's in this day and age and how the internet is now. I don't know if that would go over well. I think people would be like, I think the months waiting would be like, you would be like,
But think about it from this perspective though. Like if you just laugh it off and you don't respond to the original diss track and you're like, okay, that's over. And then you just drop it unexpectedly, surprise with it. And then you surprise with everything, a tour, videos, like, you'd be like, wow, this person is petty.
Okay, I have a... Okay, no, hold on. I have a
Tara, what's his face for?
I just think this whole thing is stupid. I think this whole thing you're saying is stupid. I think it's petty, and I think no one agrees with this, and I think that no one would like it, and I think that it would be a terrible idea, and I think that if my favorite artist did something like that, I would be like, wow, I'm questioning whether I actually enjoy you as an artist.
I have a question. So she didn't make a whole album of this, but let's just use Taylor Swift, for example, with the Kim Kardashian song Beef. That was 10 years ago. And yeah, now
that's too long. Plus, she's already addressed this. Like, I'm saying for someone who hasn't addressed anything. Like, imagine if someone just be completely disrespectful to you and you don't address it. And then when you do decide to address it, you address it in a way where they'd be like, oh, shit.
Well, I don't know. I don't know for sure. I might be wrong. I don't know for sure that Taylor Swift actually verbally addressed it.
She said things. She addressed it after the event happened. She addressed it with saying she didn't give Kanye permission. Like, she tried to clear her name in multiple different ways.
You're right. She did say that.
I'm saying this person doesn't address anything. Act as if it almost didn't happen.
That might have worked before technology, but like, it's 2024. Months down the line, no one cares. No one cares.
You're not just making a diss album, though. It still will be great music, but it would be so disrespectful and intertwined. And that's what I'm saying. You get like good research. You don't just do like a generic diss track.
I guess my thing is like, I don't know if I want to listen to what's the sustainability though with that? Because like after we hear it, like how many times are we going to go back to and listen to that?
But you make good. I'm not saying you just see. Here's the thing. You guys are thinking about this as you're just making diss tracks. I'm talking about making a conceptual album.
Okay. But is it all based off of this diss, or is it like you're using that as part of it as, but it's still an album in the sense without it being like direct songs about this person? Is that what you're saying?
I'm making a story, a disrespectful story about this person. And it's not just, because like with these diss tracks, they're basically just throwing jabs at each other. No, that's too simple. I'm saying, be artistic.
Not to just call Pulitzer Prize winning Kendrick Lamar simple. Can you do better? Kendrick Lamar should do a diss track against Nicki Floyd since he's so simple.
No, like, okay.
Y'all, Nicki Floyd just said that Kendrick Lamar's beef and his rap is simple. He said his diss tracks are simple. No, I want that to float around. I want him to eat you up in the comments. Oh, I want him to eat you up.
No. Like, for example, right? In one of the diss tracks, Kendrick talks about, like, how Drake's not a good father. Mm. Right? I would take Drake not being a good father and then write songs about being a good father, not being a deadbeat, and then showing the deadbeat as from Drake's visual, but not talking about him. So it'd be more conceptual, more artistic, not just like you a bitch, I hate you, you are a terrible father, you make whack music, you are half black, half white. Like, that's too simple. I'm saying really go there and make a concept, do artistry, and it's like...
I just want to be known that you said again.
You literally said it again.
It's simple.
I'm sorry.
But I'll say this. I get it, Nikki. I do get it. I think you have an interesting idea. That's for sure. My thing is like, I'm not 100% sold that this day and age of people are going to like receive that in the way that you are
envisioning it
is what I'm saying. That's more so like I get what you're saying. I think it's I mean I would be interested. I definitely would listen and watch, of course, but I would be like, I think I can just really foresee a lot of people just being like, I just don't feel like they, I don't know. That's just me. But
Beyonce just did this with Cowboy Carter. She didn't address how the CMAs treated her. Let me finish. She didn't address how the CMAs treated her. She didn't say anything about it. She went on about living her life. No one knew Beyonce was recording a villain era album. And she brings it up in American Requiem. And now this resurgence of the disrespect the CMA had against her started all this back up.
That was, first of all, that was different because it was aimed at an entity, not even just country music, an entity that was parallel to the music she wanted to create. That is completely different from taking shots at a specific person about something very specific. This was something, a concept album that could actually evolve artistically over 21 tracks. I don't see that being a good usage of time, energy, or funds to be focusing an entire album on one person's issue.
Petty people do.
I would spend the capital to make it happen.
We know. What I do want to say, though, moving from that, is I'm gonna be boring because I know that I am boring sometimes when it comes to these types of things. Thank you, Jordan. He said, Daryl, boring never. But I will say, I know that this is entertainment. I know that it's like interesting. I know like whatever. I personally don't love this type of thing. I personally, just like, I get the entertainment value. I even get why it's important for the culture. I truly do. But I don't really necessarily love the taking like really deep shots at people, like through songs and like the stuff with families and all that other shit. Like, I low-key feel like you should kind of just, I also understand that in rap beef battles, it ain't nothing off limits, but I personally don't like it. But what I am going to say is that, so the reason I said that is because I said none of this interested me. I had no interest, and if we weren't talking about it on this podcast, I would not have listened to it. But I love Kendrick Lamar as a rapper. I love Kendrick Lamar. I think he is prolific. I think he is incredibly intelligent. He elevates hip hop in a lot of ways that, honestly, my personal opinion is that Drake cannot and has never done. I would like to take this as an opportunity to actually talk about the themes that Kendrick actually talked about, because leaving Drake out of the situation, he touched on a lot of things that I think are very important conversations for today. He touched a lot on how, like, he touched a lot on how people appropriate culture in a way that benefits them. He talked a lot about how we receive that based on what we want to hear. He talked a lot about how literally Drake is an incredibly, like, a best-selling artist who's done a lot of questionable things that we all forget about because he makes a hit every now and then. But also, he does things that are directly harmful to our culture and a culture that he proclaims to be a part of, when we actively know that he wasn't actually a part of until it became beneficial to him. And this is a person that feels comfortable enough taking shots at a person that has been prolific throughout his entire career and been the exact same person that we see now as he was back then. And I think it's important because, like, for so long, Drake has gotten this pass, I think. He has gotten a pass and has done some really problematic things to the community. He said some problematic things about the community. And also, like, the fact that Kendrick Lamar, like, this whole thing, well, this is way beyond what Kendrick said, but this all started because Kendrick said he was the best out of him and J. Cole. Like, this is really where it started. And then Drake decided to just, like, go to 100 with this shit. You know what I mean? I think that it says a lot that America boasted Drake's ego so much that he actually thought he had a chance to go against this man who, honestly, not only ran circles around him, ran laps, ran miles, ran marathons. These Absolutely. Songs are polar differences. This sounds like somebody who's doing the kids bop version of hip hop versus the president of hip hop.
Drag Drake. Just drag him.
Because, no, I am, because I really, now I will also say, like, do I think Drake is a bad rapper? No, I actually don't. I actually think he's a pretty decent rapper, and given the other options we have today, one of the better ones, if I'm being honest. Like, we have a lot of mumble rap that I don't care for and I don't really want to hear ever again in my life. Drake, I wouldn't consider him to be that. I wouldn't even honestly consider him to be a hip-hop artist. I consider him a pop artist, if we're being frank. But, like, the fact that we as a culture have elevated this man so high to where he, even in spite of the things that he's done, says so much. And I don't like confrontation in that way. I don't love when black people, it's like one of those things where they tell you, like, if you go argue inside the house, don't argue in front of everybody. I don't love that because I feel like it makes us all look confrontational and combative, and it kind of feeds into the stereotype people have about hip-hop. But honestly, that is true about hip-hop. Like, that exists in hip-hop. But I think what's more important is to look at what he actually said and be like, how can we, like, take what this man has said and really hold everyone that does this to the same regard. Like, don't let these words just be dismissed as petty rap beef. Actually look at it and see how we can move hip hop culture forward and not let these people in and take control over things that they don't really appreciate in the way that they should. Ranch over.
Wow. Did y'all think anybody went too far?
No.
In the context of what rap beefs are now,
I disagree slightly. I think Drake's Heart Part 6 is a little bit too far.
And what do you mean? Which reference?
I was trying to find the line where it basically talks about like the molestation that Kendrick talks about that he went through.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a little too far because we know so many men and black men are molested, and like it's already a taboo thing, and to like not make people comfortable because you're going to drag someone about that. Like, I think that's too far when there's already so much trauma around black men and being molested that we don't already deal with at first.
Kendrick Lamar accused this man of being a pedophile. He said he wished he would die.
I was gonna say.
He said, like, he said to his children or child or children, unconfirmed, but child or children, he basically said, like, your grandfather was a terrible person and he should die. Like, no. Absolutely not.
But again, we hear about people being pedophiles and all that all the time. Like, that's commonplace. But,
what? What?
Nikki.
What are you doing at this episode, Nikki?
I think it might be time for an early bedtime.
Right. What?
But we do hear about that all the time. Like, that's not uncommon. It's not uncommon. But we hear about this all the time.
Nikki,
y'all sit here acting surprised like we didn't just have R. Kelly, P. Diddy, all these other people. Like, y'all acting surprised.
No. I understand that we hear it all the time. But in the context of what you are talking about, in the sense of going too far or not, I think those are all in the same playing field.
Kendrick Lamar literally, specifically had verses for each of Drake's family members.
I know
that is
meet the Grahams.
If you're going to say go to, in my belief, I wish they had never brought family into it, to be honest, specifically their kids, because it's all petty rat beef. But like, they're going to hear this eventually. I hate that. Exactly. I really wish they had, even if he had kept it to his parents, I would have been okay with that. But bringing kids into it, I hate that. That being said, if I'm Drake and you bring my kid into any conversation, I will say whatever I need to say. I don't care what you went through. I don't care what it is. I will say whatever I need to say.
I agree. So one thing I'm not going to play about is my children.
You go back to my original thought of being petty. That's what I'm hearing.
No. You're talking about... No. That's a very different thing. I'll do that for a song, not an album. I'm not spending that much energy on nobody. I will say, you know what? You know what's funny? I feel like I'm dragging Drake, and rightfully so, because he be doing too much. But I will say, one thing he said that I said, oh, all right, I'll fuck with that. When he was when Kendrick was talking about how, like, I don't like that you say nigga. That might just be me, but I don't like that you say nigga. And then he opened up the next track with, I don't think you should say it. Fuck that, nigga. I was like, that was kind of good. That was good. I had to give it Drake on that one.
That was a good one. There was one more too. I should look it up, but there was like two things. It was that one, and then there was something else that he said. I think something about him being like, something about being like historic or something like that, like rapper or something. I was like, okay, that was pretty good. But like, that's why I said, I feel like if anything, I'm glad that this gave Drake some to use his like, you know, his muscle a little bit more. Cause I feel like he just got too comfortable with being at the top. So I think this kind of shook him a bit. Also, I don't know if you guys saw today too, that his security guard got shot or something like that. So now there are people Now people are saying, like, it's giving Tupac and Biggie.
Too much.
Let's just stop.
Don't nobody need to die over no rat beef. This is stupid. No. That's too much. That is too much. I'm hoping those are two isolated incidents and they're not related. Because that's... I will say, though, I don't know if Kendrick is planning on coming back with anything. I kind of hope he doesn't. He's already won. He doesn't need
to. I think he's coming out with an album, so that's what's happening next.
Well, I don't need him to address Drake anymore, because Drake,
it's
honestly
not that kind of album, Nikki. It's not that kind of album.
Didn't it seem like on the Heart Part 6, like the last minute of that was Drake kind of like accepting defeat? Like, it kind of felt like that. It felt like he was like, damn, I can't keep writing. Like, you gotta stop.
I think he threw in the towel. That was the waving the white flag. He said, all right, yeah, because I mean, what else, like, what else does he have at this point? Because I feel like he was Kendrick, reaching.
That A minor line, I said. Listen,
the A minor line, I said, welp. I said, I'm sorry. He's taking it.
I was like, I don't even know how you come back from that. Like, Drake actually said, well, if I was a pedophile, I'd be arrested by now. I was like,
what? And I was like, everyone was like,
what?
And he also too like threw in Millie Bobby Brown, and it's like no one even mentioned her name. I was like, Drake, this is weird.
Drake, quit. Your fans will still love you. He will still be successful. Quit.
I said, quit while you're ahead. Drake's best move is to release a summer bop, so that way people can go ahead and forget about it.
I'll forget about it. Everybody will forget about it. You know the white people won't listen to this rap beef anyway. They ain't no white people listen to all this.
Just release a summer song that everyone will, that's super catchy like he always does, and call it a day and move on. Because he lost. He lost
very badly. Yeah. Put in a good effort, though. He put in a good effort. And I'm saying this to somebody that actively doesn't like him.
He did put in a good effort, especially towards Kendrick Lamar, because I wouldn't go up against Kendrick Lamar at all. So, but like,
no one should.
Yeah,
I'm good. Shout out to J. Cole for knowing to not get involved in this.
Yeah, J. Cole said,
he's like, time out. Nope, not doing it.
J. Cole said, I choose peace. Right. let's hold hands and say, let's not do this, guys.
Yeah, no. Shout out, Fan Bill.
This was all weekend. Boy, move. This was all weekend, though.
What? No disrespect. Well, J. Cole's from Fayetteville. So I said, shout out, Fayetteville.
Which is why I said, stop, boy, move. To you.
You're from Mississippi.
Okay, wrap this up. I'm tired of talking to you.
Okay.
Tried it.
Well, this has been fun, guys. Love talking about music with you guys. Love hearing your opinions and thoughts. Yeah, so this was great. More to come soon. I think the next album we're going to review and listen to will be Billie Eilish, because it's coming out next week. And she's also doing listening parties at Madison Square Garden and at movie theaters for the album, which I think is pretty cool. So,
are these like ticketed thing? Like, you have to purchase a ticket?
The Madison Square Garden is free, but it's because it got sold out because it was free, then she moved it to the movie theater, but the movie theater is only $5 to go to listen to it. So
is it one movie theater, or is it like
multiple AMCs? There are all AMCs, they're doing it for
this. Why am I going to a movie theater to listen to
that's what I was about to say. Like, Madison Square Garden kind of made sense, but I mean, I might go to a movie theater to just like sit and listen to
it. I think it's supposed to be, I think they're trying to give it more cinematic experience, I think, because to hear it in a, like, a different way.
Are there visuals with this, or are we just going to be with a black screen with the sound on and some popcorn?
I don't know about that part. It just says album listening.
Might go. If there are tickets, I actually might go, because it seems interesting. Like, it seems like an interesting event.
I thought so. I was like, this is a great way to get people to go listen to your album too.
Is it gonna be giving $103,000 deal with that flute?
I hope not. I don't. I also too no, because she's going to single now.
Right, so. And he told everybody what he was doing with that album. You should not be surprised.
Yeah. So we do. Mm. But so yeah, she'll be next.
All right, Billy.
Can we just, before we go, can we just shout out my computer for making it through this whole session? Because honestly, that's the real MVP.
Man, fuck Kendrick. Daryl's computer made it, y'all. We did it. I think Nikki's going to have a successful time loading this episode this time. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be good.
Y'all, so, before we go, Daryl Wayne Purcell Jr. gets me the blues.
Do not do my
when it comes to editing because of him. It's always him.
It's not because of me. It's because of my computer.
Okay.
It's my computer.
Are you laughing for the hour? Let's go.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Thank you all. This was Hell I Don't Know. We'll see you again next time. Have a good night.
Bye, guys.